sweep and fury of the resurrection. There's a new world coming. Today and every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs on Negro life, based on the theme of Roy Otley's book, New World A-Comin'. Produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Today, we present Owen Dodson's dramatic story, Roll Call, starring Canada Lee as Private Richard Hill, an American Negro soldier, and Myron McCormick as Private Oliver Wesley, an American white soldier. The scene, the Allied beachhead in Ituno, Italy, immediately after our troops stormed the shore and captured it from the Germans.
Ollie Wesley's my name. Private Oliver Wesley, 5th Army Infantry. Now that it's all over and we captured Natuno, I can see how everything happened. American black and white divisions piled out of the LSTs while our planes covered us overhead like swarms of birds flying in huge mass groups, dropping bombs and strafing the enemy as he retreated. The fighting didn't last long, but it was tough. At first, the Germans shot everything they had at us, and the whole beach shook with cannon fire. The sand all around us flew up like geysers. And let me tell you, the wounded and dead on our side were plenty. But our landing barges kept coming in, and their big black doors kept opening, and our men kept coming on. Finally, the Germans retreated. They fell back 10 miles, and then it got quiet. We took the protective cotton from our ears, cared for the wounded, buried our dead. Then we were all mixed up, Negroes and whites. And we were given certain jobs to do, all of us. A colored fellow and myself were detailed to guard one of our ammunition dumps. Late that night, he was whistling a little tune.
I was ordered back to my homeland. I was born in Germany. I had to go.
And you like going back after living in America, huh?
They have no Negroes in Germany. That's a little better than what you have in the South.
Hey, what do you got up your sleeve? What are you trying to do?
Trying to talk sense to you before it's too late. Even now, while he's sleeping, he knows you will do nothing to him. But he hates all white men, just like the rest of his kind.
Hate?
Yes. They're cannibals. They want to kill us all. That's why we must strike against him first.
We? What do you mean?
You and I. We must work together. His kind the white man is fighting against in this war. The same as in Missouri.
That's funny. I used to hear that kind of talk in my bar sometimes.
And it's right. What the Aryan thinks and does is right.
You have no Jewish blood in you, huh?
Nope.
That's good. That's good. Now we understand each other better. Would you like a cigarette?
I got my own.
Here, have one of mine. Go ahead, have it.
Okay. Thanks.
I have no matches.
I got some back here in my coat. I'll get them.
What a fool. He left his shovel here. He has his back turned to me.
Not in this pocket.
My chance now. That's a weak, degenerate fool.
Dick. Dick. He's trying to escape. Go after him. Hurry. Hurry.
I was lying on the bed when Ollie's cries awakened me. As I looked up, I saw the German racing out of the tent. I got up quickly and rushed after him. The rain was so thick, everything was blurred. I slipped in the mud and then got up. I saw him in front of me. He was going full speed. But he didn't see the barbed wire in front of him. He rushed into it with terrible, stumbling breathlessness. It threw him back. And as he turned, his face was bleeding and his eyes were sharp and fierce. Then he crouched low and leaped at me. I drew my fist back, and with all the strength of my body, I smashed it into his face. It was a hard hammer blow, and he fell back against the barbed wire again. Then he came at me again, open mouthed, wide-eyed, and bloody.
Cannibal!
He struck me hard, but I managed to get my hands around his neck.
You're choking me. You're choking me.
Desperately, Sergeant. And I tightened my grip.
Please, no more.
He fell in the mud and tried to wipe the blood from his eyes. It was so wet, my hand slipped. And he began to crawl toward the wire fence. I went after him and landed with the full weight of my body on his chest. He started mumbling and crying hysterically.
No more. No more.
Quickly, he bent down and reached for a large stone. But before he could hurl it at me, I grasped his hand and applied all the pressure I could.
Stop. You're breaking my arm. Stop it. Stop it. My arm. You're breaking my arm.
I had him this time firmly. This time he wouldn't get away. So we're weak and soft, huh? There's how weak we are.
Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, one more.
Yeah. Call me a swatter, huh? You won't be able to say that again. You'll never say that again. And one more. And here's another one. And this one's for Joe Lewis, the one he gave to Max Smelly. And this last one's for good measure. All right, Jerry. Now I'll take you back to camp. They dragged him on the ground through the mud. He was moaning and gasping. And there was no more defiance in his voice now. Dragging in the mud of Italy, and the rain was washing his blood out of the mud. Off my hand, off his clothes. At the major's headquarters, he lay whimpering on the ground. His body shook and trembled as he sucked the blood from his lips. And I wondered if he had taken part in the pain and smell of death in Lublin, or Warsaw, or Lidice. I didn't remember anything else until I heard the major say to two other privates in the room,
"Put the prisoner on a stretcher and take him to the hospital. I wouldn't like him to die. Not yet."